When you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Mr. Wagner. I would point out to the court also that my client is present in the courtroom today. This is not nearly as complicated as your last one and the one before. Our proposition is that, well, a little background probably would help. There's no question, my brief points this out, and Mr. Wagner points it out in his brief, there's no question that there was a contract between plaintiff and defendant. No issue about that whatsoever. The question becomes, once each of them transferred title to vehicles as part of that contract, and then the contract is no longer in effect, which in effect it wouldn't have been at the time of the filing of this action, when does the statute of limitations run on a conversion? Because as part of the contract, both parties executed titles to vehicles to the other.
Was this a conversion action or a replevin action?
Replevin. Okay. That's
one difficulty, because if you look at the record, it looks like you are arguing replevin to the trial court. In your brief, you argue conversion.
I argue conversion, yes.
And so they're not quite the same thing.
No, they aren't, Your Honor. I understand that. Should have argued conversion to the court, because he converted this vehicle, the title, fraudulently. My client had a title to that vehicle. Mr. Aguiano then went and got a replacement title for that vehicle, and then took control of that vehicle. We're saying that at that time is when the conversion took place. He converted it as he took that property, and it. Granted, it was part of that original contract, but the titles had passed. Both parties had ownership of those vehicles. Now, under the theory of the defendant, had, let's say it's 2 months later than when Mr. Aguiano takes possession of that vehicle again, or a year later. Does that then mean we can't go back and sue for a conversion because it was originally part of this contract? Now, we're saying no, that that's not the case, because the act of taking that vehicle back is the operative act. It's not the contract, it's the taking back of the vehicle.
I was just going to say, if that's the date, then it's still within the statute of limitations.
Yes.
Is that your?
That's our argument.
So what did the court find? And it made a finding with respect to replevin, not conversion, because replevin was pled. What did the court find with regard to replevin?
Well, the court found that it was part of the contract, mm-hmm. that the statute of limitations had run on the contract.
Would you agree that if it was a contract issue, it had run?
I can't disagree with that.
Okay.
Can't disagree with that, but we're saying it was the conversion
date.
And
so the court also found that the statute of limitations had run, even if he considered it a replevin action.
Right. As I read it, yes. So that basically makes my argument.
And when was it January 31st, I believe, of 2014 that Mr. Aguiano actually took the truck back?
It was.
Was that the same? When was it that he actually obtained the new title? Is that in our record?
I don't know whether it is. It would have been close in time, because Mr. Aguiano had to come up from Las Vegas, I believe, to get that title, because my client, obviously had the original title that had been signed over to him. So it would have been close in time to that.
Hopefully,
but
after January 12th, is that your
argument?
Yeah.
And our argument is also that it's not so much the title as it's using the title to obtain possession of the vehicle.
If he had just taken it, we'd have a replevin action.
Yeah.
But it's your argument that because he actually converted the title?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That, no
and that
question.
Date isn't necessarily in our record.
The date that he actually took it?
That he actually converted the title.
No, we don't have that. The only date we have is the date he took it. And that's supported by affidavits on the motion for summary judgment. Nothing further.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Wagner, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the court. I'm Tom Wagner from Grand Island, and Mr. Mazur, sorry. I'm Tom Wagner from Grand Island, and I represent the defendant, Appley Mario Anguiano. I think you're here as close as I am anyway on that.
Thank you, you're kind.
Our positions, Your Honor, is that the parties here entered into an oral contract in the fall of 2013. And thereafter, they completed part of the contract. They traded at least one car each. There were still things in the contract, in the oral contract, however, which had not been done, such as my client never received the Charger automobile. He received the Charger automobile, but then the plaintiff took the Charger automobile back. So he still has custody of that. And my client owed some money. He had paid some money on the contract, but still owed other money on the contract. And the parties then issued, they had a series of messages whereby my client said he was short of money and asked for an extension of time. He said he's going to have a sale of his property on, I believe, January 25th, and asked for 20 days after that to get the funds in. And Mr. Gregg said no, he couldn't do that. He said the contract was up on the end of 2013, and he was canceling the contract, and so here we are today. Our position is that there was simply one contract here, that everything arose out of that oral contract in 2013, and that you can't split a cause of action. The cause of action is the contract. Judge Doyle, I think, at one point said it didn't make any difference what they called it. It was still there was one action, and they're attempting to piecemeal these causes of action, which I think under the Wickman Rakes case, which I cited, they can't do. And then the second thing, obviously, is that the statute of limitations, and because we think the statute of limitations began to run at the end of 2013. As Judge Doyle said, they were out of time, and basically, the cases indicate that when the statute starts to run, as of the end of 2013, and Mr. Gregg at that time could have commenced an action on the oral contract. He didn't do that at that time, and we're saying that by the time he started the action, he was out of time. So we ask you to affirm Judge Doyle's decision.
But if we were to agree with that position, then what's the effect of a title in terms of demonstrating ownership? I mean, it makes having a title to a piece of property like a motor vehicle meaningless if someone could say, oh, yeah, well, we had an agreement, and you breached that agreement, so I'm taking it away, and I'm going to represent to the sheriff that, you know, with this new title I've had created, which I don't know how, but that it's now my car again without actually going through some process to have that title reverted to you. I mean, it makes having a title meaningless if someone can just come and say, yeah, you didn't do everything you said you were going to do, so I'm going to take this away.
Yeah, I somewhat agree with you, but I do not know how the actual transaction took place as far as how he regained custody of the vehicle. I don't. I wasn't aware that the sheriff or anybody else was involved in it, and I don't know that. And quite frankly, I don't know what the date. I don't know the date the title was obtained.
What are those issues for a trial?
Pardon?
We're here on a summary judgment case.
Exactly.
And so, so we're talking about, well, we don't know this, we don't know that. But isn't our job to look at what the, we're in a notice pleading now.
Exactly.
So we look at what's being pled. We, and this was done as a summary judgment, so we look at the affidavits, we look at the pleadings, and how are the pleadings, or how is the record that clear that there can be no, whether it's replevin or conversion, how can it be that clear that those causes of action don't exist in that complaint?
Simply because they're out of time, Your Honor. I mean, the record is pretty clear that the time expired at the end of 2013. That's when that time for it started.
Well, the record's clear that the contract was
right.
signed, are you arguing that to the extent we can call this either a replevin or a conversion action, that's still controlled by the contract and not by events that take place outside the contract?
I think I am, Your Honor, because I think that's, you know, I don't think you can split a cause of action. They're trying to split off a cause of action on the contract, and I just don't think they can do that, Your Honor.
So if the action had just been filed as a replevin or conversion action, would you agree then that the statute would not have run? If they didn't file it as a breach of contract case? Is that what you're
thinking? I think as Judge Doyle said, it does make a difference what they captioned it, their time, their you know, anything under the 4 years of 4 year statute had expired.
Doesn't the statute, I was a little delayed in my thinking there, doesn't the statute of limitations begin to run, though, under these circumstances when the wrongful act is committed? And in this case, that's arguably the converted title.
Well, I...
Or the repossession.
Right. Our position is still, Your Honor, that the contract ran from the end of 2013, and regardless of how they caption their action, they're out of time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. How much time is remaining?
4 minutes and 42 seconds.
Much shorter than that. I just simply want to point out that we filed this based on the title. The title was Mr. Ugliano obtained this replacement title, or whatever you want to call it, but he had a title and he went to the, and I think the affidavits are clear, he went and obtained possession of the vehicle based on that title. And that was on the 31st of January. That's not in any dispute here. So
you actually pled for the return of the truck.
Yes.
Or to be compensated.
Yes.
For the fair market value.
Yes. That's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you, counsel. You are both excused.